I was sitting at 24 minutes after 5 o'clock. It's the City Council on www.cityradio.co.za. And at this time, this is the time where we're going to be getting to our conversation with our guest, Karabo Muilwa. We're trying to connect with him here and have the conversation. Remember that I said to you, as we reflect on the achievements of the EFF over the past 7 years, what are some of the things that stand out as far as your personal analysis is concerned when you're looking at the contributions in Parliament and different platforms that they occupy and a whole lot of many other things? We already have Karabo Muilwa, who is an independent analyst, who's joining us live on the line. A very warm welcome to the City Council once again, Karabo, and thank you very much for making time for us.
Good morning, good evening to you, Ace, and to the wonderful listeners of the City Council.
It's been 7 years now since the EFF was formed. Would you say we had 7 wasted years, or have these years been good as far as our body politic is concerned?
Look, we can't say, I don't think that we can say it's been wasted. I think they've done really well as an organization. Of course, there are challenges that they had along the way, but they really did make an impact, and a massive one in the body politic of South Africa. We know the influence that they had as soon as they got into Parliament, the noise that they would make, about a lot of issues that government had not been taking seriously. We know that they spearheaded really the campaign to have President Jacob Zuma removed from power. They were central also in a lot of the decisions that the ANC took, particularly the direction and the ambition to now realize the objective of really giving people their land back, and really now beginning to claim the economy. And we've seen how the ANC's policies have evolved over time as a result of a lot of the ideas that had come from the EFF, nationalization of central or strategic resources of the country. The ANC is beginning to have really strong and robust discussions and conversations about that, the taking back of land, and really ensuring that we help out, or rather government ensure that it's central in the task of really ensuring that land is returned to people. So really, the talk about the economy and really transforming it radically became louder. The conversations became louder. They became mania as soon as the EFF got into Parliament. So the influence has been there, and I think they've really made a significant impact on the body politic of the country, really is.
And when you're talking about the ANC itself, I mean, a lot of people have, to a certain extent, been criticizing the EFF as being just an extension of a faction within the African National Congress. And to this day, when you're listening to some of the press briefings that Julius Malema gave, you'd always hear people saying that he's basically reporting on some of the scandals that he's been fed from within the ANC. To what extent has the EFF been able to sort of solidify itself and its brand away from that association with not only the ANC but the ANC Youth League, and basically establishing itself as an independent political party with its own independent mandate?
Look, I think the EFF, with the leadership of Julius Malema, has really done more than enough to become an organization that is appealing to young people. There was a time really where political parties, or other opposition parties in South Africa, were not seen as a viable alternative to the ANC. We've seen the EFF kind of become red, especially when we're dealing with young people. We know that a lot of, quite a significant number of the membership of the EFF are young people, and part of the reason why that is so is because of the manner in which the EFF has presented itself as an organization really that is open to ideas that are brought forward by young people, but also an organization that is not afraid to give young people a massive responsibility within their structures. Mm-hmm. And that, really, I think, has been central in ensuring that the organization becomes what one can refer to as a viable opposition to the ANC. You look at the way that they present themselves in terms of their rhetoric. They make noise about things that are generally that have a direct impact to the lives of young people, that young people resonate with. You talk about employment. The EFF is always central in a lot of of those discussions. We know that during the power sharing tenure with the Democratic Alliance in Gauteng, they spearheaded really the campaign to have a lot of the workers there who were casually employed, you know, absorbed into those municipalities as permanent employees. As a young person or as a young people want to see that happen. They want to see their parents being taken seriously, being given opportunities that, you know, will be able to sustain them in the long run. And I think that is one of the reasons really why the EFF has really been able to reposition itself as an organization, rather as a political party, that not only speaks for young people, but also allows ample opportunity for those that are older to form part of what one can refer to as a strategic economic center of thought in South African politics. So that really is I think, has, you know, is the fundamental aspect with which the EFF has been able to define itself as an organization led by young people, but that, you know, stands for all South Africans regardless of their age.
Now, if you were to speak to a random, an average young person in the streets, and you ask them about the EFF and basically get them to answer the very same questions that we're grappling with today, do you really think that they'll be able to articulate those victories that you've talked about? Or has the EFF really not been that not doing that well when it comes to communicating, you know, those victories? Because what seems to be the overriding impression that we get about the EFF in the streets is the chaos that happens in Parliament and the funny things that are said by Julius Malema, but you seldom hear a person talking about this policy advancements that you've just mentioned. How has the EFF done in communicating its own achievements?
Look, I don't think it's been very good in communicating a lot of those things. We know that Julius Malema focuses most of the time on attacking individuals and you know, making allegations, you know, against certain political parties, certain leaders, and never really takes effort in ensuring that he communicates the vision and the policies of the EFF. I think that is communicated, you know, too often by their actions. There are people who generally make noise about certain topical issues, you know, depending on how pressing they are to the ordinary South African. And all the South Africans, funny enough, are always able to relate to a lot of those issues. What has been most effective, I think, in the EFF in communicating all of its messages and its thoughts, has not been so much about having substantive discussions about a lot of these, you know, issues, a lot about its policies and what they entail. They've been able to shape policy and attract membership by being active. And their activism is demonstrated by marches that they will have. The office must fall. Their marches to the Reserve Bank, where they'll be demanding that the Reserve Bank, you know, cut off on inflation and a lot of those things. So those active actions speak for themselves. And I think they play a major part in communicating what the EFF seeks to achieve. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about rhetoric and talking, but rather about action, ensuring that policy and what is documented in the policies is communicated by action. And I think that is why they've been able to, you know, to gather a lot of support. They've been able to also to get their own membership to be an active citizenry in South African politics by debating on a lot of issues, not so much because they read about them, but because the EFF is loud and it speaks about these things in public spaces, in marches that they hold, and so on and so forth. So really, I think that is where they've been effective in ensuring that they communicate their messages to the masses without really having to give out documents where people will read and engage with those particular documents in informal settings, as is generally the case, I think, in other political parties.
And I'm talking about rhetoric, and earlier on you made one of the examples, of course, referencing Fees Must Fall. I've always been interested when it comes to the aftermath of Fees Must Fall as to, you know, which political party was able to sort of leverage the political excitement of the times, where you find that even and students that were not necessarily interested in politics were starting to articulate themselves in a political way like they had never done before. And my own personal view has always been that the EFF seemed to have strategically positioned itself in such a manner that it can absorb, you know, that kind of radicalism within itself, and also dish out that rhetoric that sort of, you know, resonates with a lot of radicalism on the ground, regardless of which political party it comes from. Would you say that it's a correct assessment to say that they were able to at least sort of be expedient, for lack of a better word, when it comes to Fees Must Fall? Or have we seen other parties taking advantage of that excitement and inserting their own agenda and political motives?
Well, there's certainly no doubt about the fact that EFF benefited a great deal from what we saw in the political euphoria that came with the Fees Must Fall movement. And a result of that really is demonstrated by their confidence in a lot of the leaders who participated in the particular march. We know now that Voyane Pambo and Naledi Shira were absorbed by the EFF at a later stage. And so out of that, really, it kind of created the impression that the EFF really was the one at the forefront of that particular agenda. And it worked to that advantage without doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So the EFF used that, as leverage and to their advantage in a way that I think, satisfied many. From a policy point of view, not much has been achieved. And that has not been achieved because one cannot point a finger at the leadership of the EFF. They are not necessarily policymakers. They are not in government. They've only got 44 seats in the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
But what they can do is to continue to demonstrate their support for that particular movement by absorbing a lot of the leaders who think in that fashion. So you had the likes of Voyane Pambo, you had the likes of Naledi Shira, who really were thought leaders, in a literal sense,
mm-hmm.
insofar as the movement was concerned. The EFF, having absorbed them and taken them into their ranks, sent the message that this is something that they support and it's something that they would like to see realized at the later stage.
Mm-hmm.
The mistake that would happen, and which I think they should avoid, is to find themselves in a situation where these leaders are absorbed and, all of a sudden become complacent and not, as vocal as they were at the time. So their responsibility now is to continue to put pressure on those that they've absorbed into their ranks, to continue to make noise about these things, so that ultimately you've got a policy that changes. Ultimately you influence the political direction of the ANC using the banner of the EFF, and as such you are able to gain the support of the public, you are able to gain the support of the very same students that fought in this course.
Mm-hmm.
So really it is something that has worked in the benefit or to the benefit of the EFF without doubt.
We're sitting at about 24 minutes heading to 6 o'clock. This is the City Council. My name is Ace Muloi. At this point, we are in conversation with our independent political analyst. His name is Karabo Muila. We're looking at the 7 years of the existence of the EFF, and we're trying to grapple with the question, have they been 7 wasted years? Looking at some of the victories, some of the failures, and many other critical issues that are surrounding the economic freedom fighters. But for now, we're going to be just taking an ad break, and then when we come back, we're going to be continuing with everything that we were talking about.
Two-year optometrist. Pay 2,000 rands for a bifocal lens and 1,000 rands for a single vision lens. Book your appointment today on 051-430-1751. That's 051-430-1751. Or visit us at Shop 213 at Central Park, Bloemfontein. Remember, we will hook you up with a free frame if you come test your eyes with us at Dear Setunya Optometrist. Terms and conditions apply.
People only now discovering Facebook be like,
my mom told me about it. It's great. You should just add me. We can click and we can look at each other's holiday photos.
Bozzers be like,
oh, I actually just reached my Facebook friend limit. But DM me.
Do the Bozza thing. Dial *143# and be more social with an MTN Facebook bundle from as little as 5 Rand daily. Everywhere you go. MTN. T&Cs apply.
CT Radio. connecting communities.
And of course, one of the best ways that we connect communities is through difficult conversation, important conversation, the kind of conversations that we really don't get on your traditional platforms. And at this point in time, we're talking to Karabo Muilwa, and we're looking at the EFF. And I do believe that you're still with us, Karabo. So as we continue with this conversation, now you were talking about the thought leadership that was provided by the likes of Vuyani Pambo and Naledi Chirwa when it comes to Feast Must Fall, when it comes to the EFF Student Command, and we'll try to talk about the Student Command itself as an independent entity of the EFF. But when you're looking at how the EFF has been, you know, branding its leadership and its representatives, it's been talking about intellectualism a number of times, and we've been celebrating them for having gone to school, for being smart and all that. But at the same time, one might wonder and say, to what extent are they inclusive of people that are from different backgrounds, even academically speaking, so that it's not only a party for the elites that only has people that went to varsity, but also can be something that, you know, a person that comes from the rural areas who's not educated also stands a chance as far as leading the EFF is concerned.
Well, I think that is the one area where the EFF really needs to put its attention and really, you know, begin to assess how they can begin to take that particular direction. One of inclusiveness, and ensuring that those who are not educated do not feel excluded. But the vibe of the EFF itself was such that it was formed in a way where, in a form which really did not, or initially, you know, was exclusive of people who did not have a really good background. We know of a lot of members of the EFF, elderly women who served in the command team and in parliament, and we know about, you know, just how they continuously speak about, you know, the poor and finding ways to position the poor in ways that are advantageous to them. So I think that has really worked to the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that the EFF faces from a leadership point of view is the over-glorification of certain leaders, and particularly Julius Malema. You look at the EFF today, and it's hard to imagine the EFF, you know, seeing somebody who can be pointed as a potential successor because of the personality card kind of approach that they've taken in the party.
Mm-hmm.
That alone, I think, poses a real threat. But really, including, you know, everybody and society in its form, I don't think there's really been anything that one can point to that hinders or rather that borders on that kind of thinking. I think every member of the EFF see themselves as potential leaders, and I think all of them really appreciate the direction really that the leadership of the EFF continues to take, which encourages young people in particular to study. Also, you know, as old as they are generally encouraged to study. We know how late Julius Malema, you know, obtained his, you know, undergraduate degree and went on to study further. That serves as motivation. Really, what are the challenges? The real challenge that they are confronted with, in my view, is that of succession, which I think the party has yet to grapple with. But that, you know, even creating a conducive ground for those discussions to begin to be there,
mm-hmm.
and really, you know, grooming a leader that can be pointed to as successors of Julius Malema in the party. So, in terms of inclusiveness, I don't think there's going to be any challenges. I think the real challenge really is on the culture of personality cults, which has been, you know, created in the party, and which I think in the end is most likely to lead to the demise of the party.
But what are the metrics that we use to get to that conclusion where we say there's a personality cult? I mean, the EFF has only been in existence for, what, 7 years now, and they've only had, you know, what, two national people's assemblies, and the first one, really, one wouldn't necessarily count it, the one that happened at Kali Human here in the Free State. At least the second one that happened in Nasrec, there was much more border space for contestation. And when you're looking at the ANC, Thabo Mbeki was the president of the ANC for two terms, and obviously wanted to get the third one. Jacob Zuma was the president of the ANC also for two terms, and Malema has only been leading the EFF for about, in total, about 8 years. How do we get to even at the point of saying that there's a personality cult within the EFF?
I think the real question whether is the whether, you know, the EFF, one can imagine the EFF without Julius Malema. And it is really difficult to do so. Can you see Julius Malema having relinquished power in 5 to 10 years' time? Young as he is, passionate and fired up as he is about the EFF. Mm-hmm. And as someone who really founded the organization, I think those are the really, you know, the strong points that one should be looking to say, is Julius Malema, or does he appear somebody who in 10 to 15 years' time will have, you know, accepted that his time to move on has come and that he now has to hand over power to somebody else? And this is something that one has to assess from the ground on the basis of whether the membership of the EFF speaks about other leaders, celebrates other leaders in the party, and sees them as something, as people who can take over. And that is part of the reason I feel that's not going to happen, because that conversation is not taking place in the party. We are not seeing leaders being groomed and being celebrated in a way that one would expect, so that you prepare your membership for a smooth transition to a point where we'll now see maybe Floyd Shivambu is ready to take over. Mm-hmm. So one cannot, and it's very difficult to imagine, is a National Assembly of the EFF where there'll be a discussion, and a constructive one, about where, which direction to take once Julius Malema has moved or is has relinquished power as the leader of the party. This is something that I think has yet to be spoken about, and because this conversation is not taking place within party ranks, gives one the impression that Malema still holds the ultimate authority, and that until such a time that he is prepared as an individual to move, the membership of the EFF won't see the need for a change of leadership, which really is something I think the EFF needs to begin to work on.
But is the conversation around succession not premature when you're looking at the years the EFF has, and when you're looking at the agility of Julius Malema himself in terms of mobilizing society, should that conversation not be replaced by, you know, how the EFF should go about in accomplishing its cardinal pillars?
Well, that is what one would expect in the real sense of politics, or rather in an ideal world. But we don't live in an ideal world. We know that there's ambition in every political structure. There are ambitious people in the EFF who are working with Julius Malema, and some who are subordinate to him. I have no doubt that in years to come, we're going to see that beginning to show its head in the party. And my concern is that it might lead to the party really breaking in two halves and not being able to grow and become strong and realize its primary objectives. We saw what happened with the likes of Adilem Kitama, who had really the ambition of taking over, you know, the party at some point, or getting a position of influence. That did not happen. We saw how he was chucked out, and there's going to be many characters of such a nature, because that is the nature of politics. Contestation is there, ambition is there, and when that time comes, I just feel that the EFF won't be strong enough to deal with the particular challenge, because they have not prepared themselves and their membership. Mm-hmm. For a situation of that nature, on the basis really of that they are not having those kinds of conversations. That is why I'm saying that the conversations should at least start to begin, so that when such a time comes, the party is prepared, is equipped, and the membership understands really what it means to have a peaceful transition that will be sustainable, and one that will really hold the party together instead of breaking it into half.
We're sitting at 12 minutes heading to 6 o'clock. This is at www.cityradio.co.za. You're listening to the City Council. My name is Ace Muloi. Still in conversation with Karabo Muilwa, and we're just about to wrap up everything that we're talking about. We're just trying to come up with an analysis as far as the EFF 7 years of being within and on our political landscape is concerned. And I think if we look at these 7 years, Karabo, and in line, of course, with what you've just talked talked about in terms of the centrality of the personality of Julius Malema within the EFF politics, but also even within the branding spectrum itself. One thing that has always been sustained over time is the personal attacks and the personal issues that Julius Malema had been having with the law, with authorities, and as of late, of course, we're talking about VBS, the VBS scandal. How has Julius Malema, the personal brand, harmed the EFF as an organizational brand?
I think he's been able to handle that quite nicely so far. It's not impacted much on his image, on the image of the party. I think the membership of the EFF continue to have full support in Julius Malema as well as the leadership, because there's no tangible evidence that has been brought, you know, to the table that one can really point to and say, because of this, Julius Malema might compromise the integrity and tarnish the image of the party. He had a session of his own with journalists that he had invited to come and ask him questions. Nothing of material came out of that interview, you know, in the sense of saying that, pointing to any wrongdoing on his part. So if that is indeed the case, that he is corrupt and that those things have happened, there's not really been material or empirical evidence to support those assertions or those allegations, and it is on the back of that I think Julius Malema, you know, still holds a high authority, and that he still has, you know, the full support of his membership. And I think until such a time that real evidence really has been produced and that we have something that we can point to, obviously as a brand, Julius Malema is associated with the EFF in an unimaginable manner. And that is why that I said earlier on that it is difficult to imagine an EFF that exists without Julius Malema. Mm-hmm. And so should anything of any manner that speaks to corruption and allegations of such a nature be true, there is certainly no doubt about the fact that it is going to impact negatively on the image of the EFF, and that it might ultimately lead to the EFF not being able to realize its objectives. But at this point in time, I think that is something he's been able to manage really well. I think he still holds a higher authority, and that his membership to this day continues to be intact.
Now let's get into the space of speculation and perhaps a little bit of extrapolation. Let's imagine a kind of future that the EFF has in South Africa. And in imagining that, let's assume that one day the African National Congress wakes up and decides to implement almost each and every clause that is a part of the Freedom Charter, from free quality education to the sharing of the land to transforming the economy and everything else. What would be the relevance of the EFF in society if we were to wake up to a radical ANC that implements all those seemingly leftist kind of policy ideas that it has within the Freedom Charter?
Well, it will certainly be relevant. The true test of the EFF really will have to be in government, and for as long as they've not gotten the opportunity to lead and be in government, it is going to be very difficult for every ordinary South African to trust them with their votes. The true appeal of the EFF really is on a lot of those issues, and people vote for the EFF, appreciate the EFF, because it speaks on issues that the ANC generally runs away from. Occupation of land is something that is recent, and we've seen how it's actually being acted out by ordinary citizens moving into land that is not occupied, because the EFF speaks the particular rhetoric. Should the ANC decide to move in that direction and really implement everything that the EFF has been calling for, we won't see an EFF that is relevant and that is needed. And that is why, over the past few years, we've seen a lot of the parties that broke away from the ANC become self and ultimately, even disappear. COPE is on the verge of collapse. I don't see COPE surviving the next election. So, really, that is something that I think poses a real threat to the EFF. Their prayer should be based on the particular view that the ANC should never at any point decide to be extremely socialist or nationally socialist, and ultimately, you know, take up all the issues they thrown on the table. The relevance of the EFF from that alone, you know, will become redundant, and ultimately, I think the party will collapse.
And I'm still talking about nationalism and socialism as we're about to wrap up the conversation. Remember that you should stay with us right here on www.cityradio.co.za beyond 6 o'clock. And that's where you're going to be jamming to Moi Mohapi with City Night. So we're going to be trying to cross over to her at the later part of the show. But yes, as we continue, Karabo, and we get towards the end of our conversation on socialism and as well as nationalism, the EFF seems to have taken Pan-Africanism and African nationalism, one would say, to a certain extent, you know, to all parts of the continent, at least as far as SADC is concerned, one would say, where they're trying to build solidarity with other radical voices on the African continent. And we're talking about, of course, the doing away of borders. We're talking about inter-Africa trade and the free movement of people and of goods, and just general African solidarity. But that's a conversation that started as early as the 60s, the 50s, with the likes of Kwame Nkrumah and the first states to be independent, and mm-hmm. we've inherited that conversation all the way through to the African Renaissance of Thabo Mbeki, and it is ongoing. How do you see the EFF winning as far as that is concerned, considering that they're not in government, and much of that conversation around states and borders is a conversation that basically has more power when it happens within a diplomatic mm-hmm. role between governments. How do you see them winning on that front?
Look, I think the prospects of them winning are quite achievable. You look at the manner in which, and I like the approach that they've taken. I think it's quite impressive in the sense that they've kind of tried to bring African intellectuals into this thing. You see them using the likes of Professor Lumumba to kind of speak on issues of this nature, because they hold an intellectual authority over a lot of these issues. So the more you do that, the most likely you are to get people to trust this vision that you have. Because if you get Buddha in that particular subject to be the ones to make noise on your behalf, then people are most likely to follow that particular idea. And I think have really done well in trying to realize that. Another factor which I think also comes into play, and particularly in South Africa, is their now need, or rather their strategy now, to isolate what one would refer to as the minority. Of course, they are not doing it in a way that is blunt and radical, but they understand that the majority in the country and on the continent are African. And so the more you speak about Africanism and how Africans coming together can liberate them and help grow the economy and help all of them become one and a force of power, is by isolating the few that are assumed to be in control of what one would refer to as strategic centers of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
So that really has been a strong approach on the part of the EFF to say, we speak less about the white minority. We attack those that we believe hold the center of or rather, the strategic centers of the economy. And by attacking those, we speak to the very majority of Africans that are desperate for jobs, that are desperate for a better living conditions. It is through that particular approach that I think the EFF will most likely achieve what they wish to realize. The challenge really over the borders is that you've got African leaders who have got a different approach in terms of how they prefer to lead. They prefer to stay in power for longer periods of time. They are not as democratically inclined in terms of thought as you would find the leaders here in South Africa. So the penetration into other structures or other countries may be difficult, but in South Africa, the way in which they've tried to push this nationalist, African nationalist style of thinking, it is something that in the end, I think, might work in their favor. And if that happens, I don't see how it will be difficult for them to begin to open the borders and influence, you know, other in the continent.
And I promise you, the one thing that's difficult for all of us is the fact that we've come to the end of this conversation. I'm looking at our time, and there's literally no space, not even the eye of the needle, for us to go through. So thank you so much, Karabo Mila, for your time. And we do appreciate your insights. We'll try to be in touch with you as more of these complex issues are arising. But for today, I thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.